Welcome to another episode of Open Doors, Conversations with Heart of the Father. I'm your host, Jacqueline Harper. Open Doors is a conversation about inviting God's love, presence, and power into our hearts. We are friends and teammates from Heart of the Father Ministries who share in the mission of setting captive hearts free through Unbound Ministry. We're so glad you could join us.
Hi, my name is Matt Lozano, and I'm the Director of Training for Heart of the Father Ministries. And I'm excited about today's episode of the Open Doors podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about travel, particularly travel about the global impact of Unbound Ministry. And here with me are two people that I know very well. In fact, I've known them my entire life. We have my mom and my dad, Janet and Neil Lozano. Neil and Janet have been the founders and leaders of this ministry for almost 30 years now. My mom, Janet, is a wonderful, compassionate minister who always gives people her time, her attention, and her love. And she has traveled with my dad, Neil, over many years, supporting him, loving, giving amazing talks, and always being available to people who need ministry. And my dad, Neil, is the founder and director of Heart of the Father. He is also very compassionate, loves people really well, and he carries the heart of this ministry. He carries the message in his heart. He's very generous, and he just always has time for people. And just want to welcome you both to the show.
Thanks, Matt.
Well, this was a fine introduction. Do I get to introduce you too?
I think I've already been introduced. But so this ministry really, from the beginning, has always had an international flavor. I mean, one of your first conferences was in Poland. And really, from the beginning, there was always an interest in Unbound from other countries, and you were involved in lots of missions really from the beginning. And between the three of us, we've logged a lot of miles around the world. What does that mean to you that this ministry has been international?
Well, I think it really starts with the heart of God. It wasn't our plan. Matter of fact, for me, I was never one that wanted to travel. Jana was the one that had the vision for traveling, but I just went to the place we were invited to, and we had received that invitation to Poland. And that's when we started to put it all together and started to put the keys together in such a way that we could see the power of God being released upon the people. I mean, we've been to some amazing countries. Some of the beautiful places I remember right now is Rwanda. It's just a beautiful country. Slovakia in the mountains, Calgary in Canada. Beautiful, beautiful places, which I'm sure we would have wanted to visit anyway, but we got something better. And we got to know the people, and not only meet the people, but we got to know their stories and know their hearts and know their pain and help them to receive the redemption the Lord has for them. So we have such a deep connection with people in all of these countries.
It's great.
So for me, when I was in college, I joined the Navy. And I did that mainly to have my education paid for. But there was a slogan, you know, join the Navy and see the world. And I wasn't thinking that when I joined. But looking back, I think the travel that we've done for Heart of the Father Ministry is something that fulfilled that desire in my heart, because I love experiencing different cultures and people from different countries and different cultures, and getting to minister to their hearts is just an amazing way for God to have fulfilled that desire in my heart. Yeah. So, but I think for me, more than the countries, it's the people that we met and the people that we got to influence in terms of developing a relationship with them, and then them catching the vision of them.
Just to follow up on that, Mom, was there a place that you really just fell in love with? Like whether it was the people or the culture or?
I think I would have to say Poland, because for me, that's kind of where it all started. That's probably the first place that Neil was invited to teach. And so it's where we learned. It's where Unbound was developed. It's where deep relationships happen. So yeah, it's the personal connection with certain people. I feel like I have a spiritual daughter there. So that is just a special place for me.
How about you, Dad?
Well, I just want to say that one of the significance of traveling to so many countries early on was that it was really how God trained us. It was intensive training where we would give some talks and then we might pray for people, broken people, for 6, 8 hours, maybe more in a day. And we just saw the hand of God. We saw how the keys work together, and we got to learn about people's hearts. I mean, we saw, not through what we learned, not by being taught, but by seeing the consequence of communism and what it did to the family and what it did to fatherhood. And we could see that. And then going to Africa, we could see how witchcraft had such a profound effect upon the people and the culture and the fears of evil spirits. And so I look back at the way that we went from country to country as the Lord just instructing us and teaching us and giving us something new to learn, which all found its way into Unbound or the teachings that we've given since we're with Unbound.
That's great. For me, I think the place I really fell in love with was Tanzania, which also is a beautiful country. Got to see some amazing animals on safari and things like that. But just to go back there, not just as you were saying, Mom, to go back there twice and to really just be embraced by people and get to know them on a personal level, it's really special. The culture, you know, dancing at mass and just worshiping and singing for hours and hours, being literally taught how to dance as a Westerner is something I always remember. Dad, what you shared leads into my next question. Can you tell us about a really challenging trip that you've taken? Travel has its challenges.
Well, these challenges become fun stories to tell. And so when we went to the Sudan, we were welcomed and we were brought to this thatched roof hut and introduced to our bed with a screen over it and no pillow. And at that time, my neck was out and I was wondering about a pillow. And then I looked around and I said, are you kidding, Neil? Forget it. There's no pillows in this town. And then we found out that the outhouse was about 100 yards away and it had been bombed. Like we were near the bishop's residence, which had been bombed too. And Bishop Talon told us about how there used to be all these elephants here and snakes and lions and stuff. And because of the influence, because guns were became so common, you know, the wildlife was killed off. And so, you know, I remember one night having to go to the outhouse in the middle of the night. And I remember running what I call Africa dark. And at that point, I didn't care. I didn't care whether there was a lion or a tiger out there. I just wanted to make it to the outhouse. So that was part of the story. But another part of the adventure was on the way. It was going to rain, and we had to take off from a field. And if it rained, we might be stuck there for another week or so, or maybe for a longer time because it was rainy season beginning. And so we got on this plane, the last ones to get off. Fortunately, they let us on it. And I'm sitting in this World War II Russian-made plane with about 30 people. And I'm trying to fit my seatbelt on. And I'm saying to Jen, my seatbelt doesn't work. And she's looking at me strange. And then I look around and I realize there's wires hanging from the ceiling. People are sitting on their luggage in the aisle. And I'm saying, nobody's concerned about seatbelts. So we were very fortunate to take off. And we went to Kenya. And I'll extend this story a little further. We were exhausted after a week. We were going to go to Kenya, rest one day, and start the next day with another conference for that parish in Kenya. And we were just exhausted. Give me a bed. And And when we got there, our host had set up in their, what do you call the outside
courtyard?
In their courtyard, they set up tables with linen cloths and candles and steak, grilling steaks. And
it was like a piece of heaven. We almost cried.
I think I did cry. And it was just like too much.
The goodness of the Lord.
Yeah. I don't know if you have something you want to add to that, Janet.
No, I think Sudan was definitely the most challenging trip. We had to take a small plane from Kenya to Sudan. And I remember them weighing us and weighing our luggage because it was so hot that, you know, in order for the plane to be able to take off with no difficulty, they weren't sure that all of us and our luggage could go on the plane. So that just was the beginning of the trip to having dinner in the bishop's outdoor dining room. It's now outdoor because it's been bombed, and seeing a large snake crawl over the beams and asking someone what was that meal on my plate that I thought was noodles. They're telling me, oh, that's intestine. And then trying to figure out how I could rid the intestines without choking.
Had you tried it at that point?
No.
No.
I asked what it was. Then I tried it and realized I couldn't get it past my throat.
It didn't taste like noodles.
No, it tasted like rubber bands.
Nice.
You couldn't chew them up. You chew, and then you just had to swallow.
So I'm hoping for a dog or something.
How about do you have a memory?
Of challenges or strange things I ate? I remember the fufu was definitely interesting in Ghana. That pepper soup with cassava in it, and that was pretty powerful. And I remember that breakfast in Poland was like a hot dog and white bread with margarine, which, you know, after the first day it was good. Then the third day you're like, oh, I don't know if I can eat a hot dog for breakfast again. Switching to the ministry, but just ministering to people, is there a person that you met or someone that you ministered that you'll always remember? Like I feel like every time I go on this trip, there's almost like one person that God ordains that you're supposed to meet and you're supposed to minister. And for me, a lot of times it's the person who picks me up from the airport. You know, you start to get to know them and then you start to hear their story and you realize they're carrying this thing, this bondage, this burden. And by the end of the trip, you've ministered to them and you feel like you gave them exactly what God sent you for. You gave them what you had. When I was in Hungary, it was like that. There was a woman who had been just serving throughout the conference. And, you know, you felt bad for her because she was exhausted. I was exhausted, but you sensed that she was carrying something. And I ministered to her on the last day, just before getting on the plane. And it was just like such an amazing breakthrough. There were tissues everywhere, you know, and yet the joy on her face, like, she's like, we have to take a picture because I feel so free. Do you have moments like that? Is anything stand out that reminds you of just God kind of showing you a person and bringing you to them?
Yeah. So it was one of our trips to Poland, not early on, but a little bit later. And we had gone to several cities and done a conference. And at this one city, it was a large conference, a lot of people in the audience. And one young woman who was very obviously very troubled. And at one point I had the opportunity to minister to her. And she's someone who had been very abused and very rejected. And it led her in her response to be angry and to really, she now was married. I'm sorry, was not married, but she had a child. And some of her anger was being directed towards her child. Anyway, through a long session where somewhat difficult because of the translation, but just pursuing particularly forgiveness and looking specifically for what she needed to renounce. I know at one point we had gone through the keys several times, and in the back of my mind was, this is it. I've got nothing left, you know. And I just took a moment, Holy Spirit, what is it? What's the thing that's holding us back? And she said it. She said, I know what it is. And she said what she needed to renounce, and she was set free.
Mm.
What was so amazing for me, because of the translation and because I didn't have time to spend with her for a few minutes afterwards, I asked the Lord the next day, could I please see her again just to know how she's doing?
Mm.
And sure enough, I was up on the stage and I could see her across the auditorium. So as soon as I finished on the stage, I went running over to her. And one of the people she had really needed to forgive was her brother. And there, standing next to her, was her brother. She had received so much freedom, she went home to her family and brought her brother back to the conference. And for me, I have goosebumps actually right now. For me, it was just such a sign of someone who is deeply, deeply in bondage being miraculously set free, particularly through forgiveness of those who had rejected her.
How about you, Dad?
When you ask that question, there's a flood of memories, you know, from the, you know, the ones that came up to me the first year, and just a young woman come up and she said I was raped when I was a young child, and I've never told anybody this before in my life. And now that happens quite often now, but for me, it was like, oh my goodness, the grace of God. And or the first time that I had this sense that the Heavenly Father was watching this young man play soccer, and I was so proud of him. And I've seen similar pictures since, but I remember the first time, and he said, how did you know that I played soccer? How did you know my dad never came to my game? But I'm going to tell one more significant story. It was this first, I had been to Poland several times, but this is the first time we taught Unbound or Deliverance. And it was at the very end, and this woman had come from the Ukraine. She wasn't a leader. She was in the kitchen, served all week long. And they just begged us to pray for her. We had a half hour before we had to leave for the airport. So I went up to this big thing and said, look, you know, we're going to start, but some of the teams we trained here will finish. But we want to give you this time that we have left. And it didn't take that long to find out that her mother and father had asked a gypsy to curse her so that she would never leave home, because in those countries, the only security they had was children taking care of them. So the parents were very controlling, wanting to hold on to her, that she was designated to take care of them in their old age, and she wasn't free. And so in a half hour, we saw the spectacular freedom come upon her. And weeks later, we've seen her numbers of times since, but you know, the priest there told us that I brought you a broken person, and now I have a leader of all the whole groups in my parish.
Wow.
So it's just, she was locked, and she entered into her destiny of service to the Lord.
That's awesome.
So when we travel, at least in my experience, it often stretches my faith. There's things that you experience, whether it's homesickness or culture shock or lack of sleep, that really just, you have to trust God. We've told some funny stories about, you know, when I lost money at an airport and I had no spending money, or I had to have my passport rushed to me because I had sent it somewhere else, and all these things that just kind of pop up as you're traveling. And yet God pours out his grace on you, and you look back and you're like, wow, he really protected me, or he really came through. Can you share about a time when you had to trust God in a new way?
Yeah, so we were on a trip to Haiti, and we had a team, I think of about six of us. Our dear friends, Joe and Morty Marchese, were with us, and some people from their parish. So we had spent the week there doing teaching and ministering, and then it was time to go home, and we had to take a trip to the airport, and they gave us two trucks pulled up to take us to the airport. And I don't know why, but Neil and most of our team got in one truck. I was in the second truck with just one woman and the driver, who did not speak English. And anyway, so we started on the trip to the airport. suddenly our car, there were flames coming out of the dashboard where I had seen sitting in the front of this truck that the wires were just hanging down. Well, now there's flames coming out of that. I was sitting next to the door and our other teammate was sitting next to me. And I guess I was in shock because she's just nudging me going, get out, get out, get out. I couldn't get the door open. I had to reach around me outside and somehow finally got the door open and we tumbled out of the truck.
Wow.
We had been following the other truck. So in what happened was the other truck kept going. So we are in the middle. We had left, I think it was like 4 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. So it's pitch dark. We're with a driver who cannot communicate with us. And the truck with the people we could communicate with is gone.
Wow.
So at that moment, it was like, Lord, I feel lost. I feel afraid. How are we going to resolve this? And, you know, so turned to the Lord and prayed. God, it was just kind of a God fell.
That'll do wonders for your prayer life.
Yes. Sure. And a few moments later, a motorcycle pulled up. It was someone who, you know, started helping our driver. And a few moments later, I think it was your driver, right? They had stopped. They realized we weren't behind them. They had stopped and they came in. Between all of them, somehow this truck got going again.
Oh, wow.
But it was absolutely a moment of needing to trust God at a really deep level.
One of the stories that I could tell is we were in Uganda and that we were supposed to go from wherever we were to a seminary where we were going to speak to priests. And so we got there like 3 a.m. and the gates of the seminary were closed. Nobody was answering. I don't know if we had phones, but nobody was answering. We couldn't get in there. And we were just sitting out there and we started this time of laughter that still remains. I remember we were sitting there singing the Mickey Mouse Club and all these old tunes from when we were kids. And it just became this hilarious time. Eventually someone came and none of the rooms were set up. So we had to go to the storage room, get mattresses, move them into our rooms. It was just quite an adventure, but that brings to mind one other really funny thing that happened on that trip. We traveled with Lloyd and Nancy Greenhaw, and Lloyd tell this story that at first I believed it just word for word. And he said, yeah, I've never been prayed for with Unbound. I probably need that someday. And we knew that was true. But then he said, yeah, when I was a kid, I was so ugly. My mom would smack me around the room before my dad would came home so that my dad would hug me when I got home because I was so ugly he wouldn't hug me. Somehow it just struck me like just picturing little Lloyd being smacked around so his dad would hug him. And that, I know that was a big exaggeration, but it was just part of the hilarity of that trip.
Now, I consider you guys, fairly easygoing travelers and ministers, and you present your message very humbly. And yet you've always had these characters who travel with you. And you mentioned Lloyd and Nancy Greenhaw, who are missionaries with Renewal Ministries. They go to 7, sometimes 8 or 9 different countries a year, and they're just always ministering. And also, your longtime friends, Joe and Marty Marchese, who are now in heaven, were also that kind of adventure-seeking, joy-filled kind of people. What was it like traveling with friends like that?
It was really awesome. As Neil said, he's kind of a homebody, and Neil really doesn't like planning trips. You know, Joe Marchese loved planning trips. And one of the trips he decided... We were going to Kenya with them, and Joe decided it'd be great if we could do a safari. It was the experience of a lifetime, the things that we got to see on this safari. And I realize now, though, it was really his wife, Marty, who, from when she was a child growing up, used to read National Geographic magazines, and it was the desire of her heart to go on a safari like that. It wasn't something we ever would have planned, but it was a beautiful trip, and a trip where I think I experienced the depth of our relationship with Joe and Marty. Particularly, Joe was someone who had such a heart for Unbound Ministry that I remember one time he went from Philadelphia to New York to pick us up at the airport. And we were thanking him for doing that. And he said, "Oh, I just want to be the first one to hear the stories of what God did on your trip," you know? So to have really dear friends like that who helped make it fun as well, really supported the ministry and loved the ministry themselves, is just a tremendous gift from the Lord. And I miss them dearly.
Yeah, that reminds me of the time we were in Kenya and there was a airline strike and we were just put in a hotel for 7 days after our trip. And we're so thankful that we had Joe and Marty to be with us. And we got to do some things that we never would have done, like go see the giraffes. And Joe was always laughing. There was nothing that upset him or concerned him. And he just was always laughing, always trusting, always believing. And we were so grateful that we've had that time with them.
That's great. One of the guys I traveled with was Dan Gahagan from Maryland. And we went to Ghana. And shortly into the trip, I realized that we were going to be there in the hottest season. And that Dan did not like the heat. So we're in this room. I'm giving a talk. And I noticed that Dan is sitting like right in front of this industrial size fan. And it's blowing air on him. And he's just as happy as can be. So I decided to mess with him. And after the first talk, I said, "All right, I want everybody to get up and move your seat and go sit next to someone else." So Dan gets up and he runs from one fan to the other fan and sits down right in front of it. And he looks up at me like, "I got you." But late on the last evening, I get a knock on the door and it's Dan, and he's got blood dripping from his elbow. And he tells me that I think he ended up needing stitches, but he was in the shower and the shower was right next to the toilet and he fell, and he showed me this. He fell so hard and his leg shot out and he kicked the toilet and he broke the toilet in half. So every time I travel with Dan, there's a new adventure. Dad, if you've shared that the human heart is the same throughout the world, and I've experienced that as I've met people and heard their stories. What do you mean by that? And can you give an example of that? The human heart is the same wherever we go.
Well, we really think of the five keys as presentation of the gospel and an invitation for people to respond. And so we've met people all over the world, and they all have unique stories of what's happened to them, times of darkness, times of abuse, times of neglect. Everyone has their own story. But we find that if you look past the story, it's basically how the human heart has responded to these situations, and the gospel is there to meet them. And so it's like, I tell this story a lot, but it's like going to Rwanda. How can we relate to what they've been through with genocide? And that's where the Lord just really showed me that the human heart is the same. We make a response to the evils that happen, and we need to repent, forgive, renounce, stand in our authority as children of God, stand in what it means to belong to Jesus Christ, and allow Him to bring us into the love of the Father and the Father's blessing.
Amen. Last question. Is there anywhere, Mom, you haven't gone that you'd like to go?
Well, I think probably Latin America. You know, we've spent a lot of time translating, developing all of our resources in Spanish. And so I think I'd like to go there next, because that feels like God's preparing us and putting it on our heart. So, and I've also recently, through Zoom, had an intercessor with me who is from Chile. And she's just wanting to learn. She's so zealous because she is forming a team down there in Chile. And so, yeah, I think there's that personal connection as well as what God seems to be preparing us for that I'd really like to see us go there.
Dad, anywhere you'd like to go next?
Well, we'd love to revisit our friends, Paul and Bean, that the first place we went, there's always a longing to go back, to visit our friend Bohush in Slovakia, or our friend Tanya that we met in Ukraine and now lives in Ireland. This is just so many that we'd love to go see and encourage in the Lord as they continue to do the work of Unbound.
Praise God. Well, thank you both for sharing your stories, the laughs, the struggles, and for your ministry.
And you too, Matt.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just such a great pleasure to have you as the chief member of our team.
Well, I really enjoy all the people I've gotten to know and the different places I've been. Speaking of international events, we are having an international leadership conference on November on the 20th. It's going to be a virtual conference, so anyone can attend from anywhere. And there's details and registration available on our website, heartofthefather.com. So if you're interested in this event, International Leadership Conference is for anyone involved in Unbound, from just beginning to many, many years of experience. If you want to have some fellowship, some teaching, hear great testimonies from around the world, we would love to have you.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about taking hold of the freedom you have been given in Christ, check out our website, heartofthefather.com, and find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This is Matt,
Jen,
Rachel,
and Jacqueline saying goodbye until next time.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
If anyone hears my voice and opens the door,
I will come in to him and eat with him.
And he with me. Revelation 3:20.